The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year right around the corner. He's Michael Coleman, the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. I am Tony Curry. We're here on Tony Curry Radio. We did the show called Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission, your mind. It's a business show. We have another show called Bite by Bite, which we do right after this. You can hear at least 5 days a week right here on Tony Curry Radio, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. We're available in every major industry, including Audacity, Heart of Alabama Food Bank, HAFB, hashtag that bad boy for everything doing down there in wonderful Montgomery. Michael, Merry Christmas. I reached out to you a couple days ago to wish you and yours a happy holidays. And it was funny because most people, particularly today, we're doing the show on Boxing Day, or also the second biggest shopping day of the year, because everyone's taking everything, all their crap back that they didn't want. So yeah. Everyone's getting gift cards. But it's amazing how many people I looked at, and first of all, we're exhausted. And second of all, we're like, I can't wait for it to be over. And this year is the first year where I really saw a lot of people like they're just exhausted and they just want Christmas to be over. And I think that's a good time for us to really sit back. And I know people here, but the reason for the season, sit back and realize what this day really is. I made a concerted effort on Tuesday earlier this week that despite the fact that I had 18 million things that I knew I weren't going to get done, I knew I wasn't going to have the perfect gifts, I knew I wasn't going to have everything finished, I took one day and I said, Lord, I'm just going to give this day to you. Every fleeting moment I have in my life, make sure I'm thinking about you and what this day means to you and the salvation of this world. But happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and I hope you're one of these people that can actually enjoy this season and not so much wish it's over.
I wish I could tell you I do, but I would be less than honest with you. Just for a long time, I felt like this, that there's so much. Look, it's part of being in a world where there's a lot of people with disposable income, and people market their products. They create desires within us. They make us dissatisfied with our current car, our current clothes, our current whatever, you know, iPhone. And so, you know, they market that and just create this desire. And then it's all about get the right gifts. And the whole, as you say, reason for the season gets swallowed up in things and what am I getting? And, it's just a bit exhausting. And the truth of the matter is, we had the Coleman side of our family got together down in Florida in my nephew's house. And, you know, there's a lot of people traveling down there. We stayed at an Airbnb. Just being together, I mean, it's so great to see family, but it also can be tough. If you have any sort of conflict, kids conflict, mm-hmm. I mean, it can drain your energy. And, and of course there's an old joke in my household that Coleman Christmases are where self-esteem go to die, because we usually are picking on each other about whatever we've failed to do or any mistakes that we've made for the past year. So, I mean, but no, you feel, on one hand, you feel it's great to see everybody. It's great to love on everybody, but it's good to get back home. And then, you know, you're on the other side of it. And that's kind of where we are today. We're on the other side of Christmas.
Yes, we are.
And we've got a short little break before we have to return to work.
And thank the Lord. Ahead. Thank the Lord. We do it that week between Christmas and New Year's. I love working on days like that because I feel like I can get a little bit of ahead. And I like to work on holidays because I know people are taking the time off, and I actually feel like I can get a little ahead of everybody in some things. But that is nice because, you know, after, you know, people that have to take a vacation after they get home from a vacation, you know, those people, I need a vacation for my vacation. That's what Christmas kind of feels like for a lot of people. It's just like, you know, there's not a lot to be expected. Don't expect to close any major business deals this week because people are traveling, they're not answering their phone, and that's the way it probably should be. So hopefully, but you know, a lot of people are looking forward to a 2026. 2025 wasn't particularly a great year for me. I'm blessed and I appreciate everything the good Lord did for me. So I am not taking that lightly at all. Do I expect a lot more in prosperity in 2026? Absolutely. I am one of those people that is hurting, you know, one of those people like, and it's funny because I was out shopping for the first time on Christmas Eve and a couple days before. And you know, it's funny. I went to the mall, the Galleria. I go to the mall every week with my son. We ride elevators. And there is nobody at the Galleria Mall. I'm talking nobody. I can park right on the front row in the parking garage and walk in any day of the week. It doesn't matter. Pretty much 11 months out of the year. And I get to the mall this past week. I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever it was. And I had to park in the third deck. I hadn't seen the mall that, and I was happy because the gallery obviously is going through some changes. They're talking about tearing it down and doing some type of nursing home or whatever. Yeah. But I was happy. I mean, you know, normally you'd see all these jewelry places, and there must be five or six different jewelry shops in the Galleria Mall. And you just see a guy in there like this, looking on his phone. Like that. And that's all. There's not a customer in a place. There's not a customer within 100 miles of the place for 11 months. And even those places had 10, 11 deep in it, people buying jewelry and getting ready. And I mean, so I understand where people are making a lot of the money. So that makes me a little anxious because I'm thinking to myself, how are they doing this? Everyone keeps talking about how hard they're hurting and government people lost their jobs and the tariffs. And I mean, how are people doing this? How are people spending money? And they may be going more into debt, but then I'm thinking to myself, here I am, you know, out of the same stores spending money that I don't have. And then, you know, on the other side, I'm seeing pretty much on a regular basis, the stock market hitting record after record after record after record. I don't have money in the stock market right now. I did before I had my divorce. I wish I would have known what it's worth now. But a lot of people in this country feel really good about where we are because they have a lot of money in their 401ks and the stock market's doing really, really well. Let's start right there. Does the stock market really tell us how we're doing economically in this country?
The stock market is generally considered a leading indicator of what happens. So when the stock market's going well, it's forward looking. So it's saying, okay, we believe that corporate profits, there's estimates for what corporations are going to do. And if it's showing profitability, if it's showing increasing jobs, that kind of, and of course, there's all different sectors. You have the health sector, you have the tech sector, on and on and on. So generally, you look across those sectors, and a real healthy stock market is not just dominated by one sector. And that. If you're showing growth, if it looks like, hey, there's going to be good profitability for companies, then that is good news for 401k plans. I will tell you the struggle, though, and I get the how people feel. If you look at it, it says 90% of stock is owned by 10% of people. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that's very misleading when you just look at that raw statistic because, you know, you and I aren't calling up our broker and going, hey, put a million shares of Amazon or sell a million shares of Amazon. And we don't have that. But but a lot of people, I say over half the country does have their retirement in stocks or index funds or, you know, mixture bonds, whatever. And so the stock market can be growing really fast like it has. I mean, we're at record highs or right there at the precipice of it. But that's something that I'm not tapping into right now because I'm not quite at retirement age. So what's happening right in front of me is I'm feeling the effects of and have for years now of inflation. And so when I go to the grocery store, I'm paying more, getting less. When I go to the pumps, I pay more, get less. Mm-hmm. Now, there are certain sectors that have started to come down. Gas prices are as low as they've been in several years now. the food sector is still high. I think Trump tried to respond to that. I don't know how successful that is yet by dropping tariffs on like coffee and other type food products. But things like the tech sector and other healthcare sector that continues to thrive and do well. Now, again, it's all on projections. And what can end up happening is, you know, when you start getting earnings reports out of the thing, let's say, oh, well, we didn't create as many jobs, or, you know, that's just one indicator. You're not creating as many jobs as you thought. Corporate profits didn't reach their estimates. Okay. So all of that can also be an indication that the economy is slowing down. Mm-hmm. So the fears of recession start to pop in. But look, I'm certainly not an expert on the economy, some basic things. But one of the things I think is very important, you know, we've seen some indications lately. GDP grew. That's another indicator. It was estimated at 3.2%. It came in at like 4.3% for the quarter, which is showing strong growth in production. We have some kind of tension though in the job markets, because I noticed that AI throughout 2025 has cost about 55,000 jobs, mostly like Amazon and things of that nature. And in the grand scheme of things, you're talking about 4.7 million jobs were created, but we also lost 4.2 million jobs.
Yeah.
And sometimes the economy just adjusts. Sometimes it's like, okay, so I want to go to Amazon. I want to make, I don't know, $30 an hour, $25, whatever it is. And now, you know, the hardest thing in the world is managing employees. And so they now can come up with a robotic system to do it more effectively, do it more efficiently, increase productivity, all that. It's hard to blame a company for, you know, upgrading and make it, because the consumer, the people who ordered it from Amazon, they want their package on time. They want that kind of thing happening. But if you're an employee, it can feel like, well, my wages are stagnant, or maybe I'm not getting the increase that I should, or the job, you know. So there's all these factors that are competing, and sometimes they'll be positive that of what we're experiencing, and sometimes they're negative. And the stock markets, again, 6 months out, is indicating them for what's to come.
It can be
challenging and difficult. Yeah.
Do you believe that the stock market rightly represents? You mentioned the fact that it kind of gives us a crystal ball into what we're doing in the future. I keep hearing that because of AI, the market is doing incredibly well. The tech area, we saw Silicon Valley, and we saw all that stuff back in the early in the 90s when it blew up, and the market was following yeah. suit. And I think that's why a lot of people, you know, maybe they invest in the S&P or something that's more mom and pop, more, you know, the top 500 companies type of thing. Do you think it's a good representative of where... Because, again, we saw what happened in 2008. There was a reason why that happened. I'm not saying it's going to happen again. All bubbles pop, and they'll get blown up again. But it is amazing to hear how people are just continually having a very difficult time. Prices are through the roof, yet everyone's on paper, everyone seems to be healthier for it.
Well, the question is, and I can't answer this question, but I've heard it be asked, is this a bubble? Or is this, but tech is not the only, but it's a leading one, especially with AI coming out. But, and there's some talk that AI will begin to slow down. It will kind of get caught up. You have all these data centers and all the electricity this, you know, required. There's a lot of factors again that go into it. It's hard to say. I think there's so many different indexes. So, you know, you have the Dow, and then you have the S&P 500. You have the NASDAQ, which is very tech heavy. Mm-hmm. You have the Russell, which is small caps. I mean, just on and on and on. You can segment this stock market out. It's not just a one big picture. But
And then you have gold too, that just set another high. And you know, I've always learned that when gold's really high, that means we're fixing to take a hit because everyone's starting to put their money in gold, and it's at an all time high as well. So something's got to give, right?
Well, again, I'm probably not the best person to ask that, but I will tell you, usually when it's in, gold is typically bought when there's high inflation because money lessens in value. And so lots of times, or when the dollar's down, and again, it gets so complex, it gets in a way over my head. But I will tell you that if you just look since the crash of 1929, the stock market historically has brought a positive return. And I think it shows that if you do are able to save and put money aside, that, you know, you're going to have ups and downs in it. There's so many people out there that may be listening that goes, well, I just don't have any money at the end.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any money to put away. I don't have a company 401k. All I feel is the high inflationary pressures. So you look at the big, beautiful bill, a lot of things that I'm hearing, I'm not saying this is true, but I will tell you a lot of the things that I'm hearing are, the big, beautiful bill is not coming. The tax law is taking effect in 2026. And it's supposed to have an effect. So it increased the standard deduction for people. Tips, there's no tax on tips. And that's significant. If you are in the service industry or other places that where you get a lot of tips, there's other... other tax advantages that have come about, and it's incentives for manufacturers. See, a lot of things that I was talking about when you talk about the stock market, we've actually lost manufacturing jobs right now, but you have companies that because of Trump's like, well, you're going to be targeted on your cars. And so plant like Honda, Honda said, we're going to build a plant. We're going to move it from Mexico to Indianapolis. Well, it's going to take a year or two of construction before all that happens in the manufacturers. So part of it is you have these things that are passed and things don't happen overnight. And people are like, yeah, you celebrate the big, beautiful bill or you celebrate this. And I'm here right now. It's not helping me with my groceries right now today. Yeah. And so people get frustrated and they say they're down on the economy.
I will say
it's
this.
It's going to be interesting to see how it is next year when it rolls around, see how it affects the midterm.
I will say this, you and I had a conversation before we started the show. I went up to Killen, Alabama with my son. He loves car washes, and there is a car wash up there called the Fusion X, and they are built out of Hannah Coleman, which is a car that they're huge down in Sugar Land, Texas, right outside of Austin. And I asked him, and if you and there's car washes everywhere, and evidently, I was asking this guy who owns this car wash. His name is Tyson. I was like, why are there so many car washes? I'm seeing car washes pop up everywhere. Is it just me? He's like, no, they're like drugstores. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he said, no, a lot of investors are coming in and buying up the land. And if it's taking a loss, they can go ahead and write that off. But they're just a car wash is a safe thing. It pretty much runs itself. It can run 24 hours a day. And so, and they're obviously trying to sell these packages. You know, I used to be the car wash, right? Every Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock after church, man, my ass was out in the driveway washing all three cars. That was my job. Yeah. Even if it was rain, I was doing that. But I was like, how has the tariffs affected you? He's like, oh, let me tell you something. You know, for a business like that, where he gets all of his parts, that are produced and made outside the United States of America for a car wash. And a lot of his stuff comes from Taiwan, comes from China, comes from Japan. You know, he's buying these parts. Car washes break down all the time. Every month he's getting a phone call from someone, whether someone, you know, hits the wheel scrubber or there's some damage to it, or maybe a relay goes out or whatever. He said, it's unbelievable. And he showed me a part. He goes, this $800 part right now costs $2,300. And so he said, let me tell you how it's working. He goes, I can't afford to pay that $2,300. So what I decided to do is I started to get on the phone and I started to call different guys around the country who could either make this part for me, or they were selling parts that I have relationships with people you know, outside the United States for this long period of time. He's owned it since 2017. And he goes, now I'm paying $400 this part instead of paying $800 for this part. And he goes, so I, you know, because I actually actively went out and looked to see how I could make up the difference and find someone else who could make these parts. Now, I don't think they're starting to make car wash parts in the United States just since the tariff started. But he was like, I wasn't even aware that these parts are being made here. And now all of a sudden I'm actually saving money because of the tariffs as opposed to going against. So there are different ways. I know that's a silver lining for a lot of people, but it is something to recognize. It's something to keep in mind that if in fact you've had these relationships and you've been buying this stuff from the same people over and over and over again, all of a sudden your price has popped. It's time to start shopping around a little bit. And maybe that does give us an opportunity. I'm not talking about mom and pop things, but it gives us an opportunity to find something else that can undercut it here in the United States of America. And I think some people are finding that.
Well, you know, one of the things that you see about this, it's one of the great things about America is that, you know, if we can't solve a problem, then we oftentimes will work back. Like if we can't, if something becomes too costly, mm-hmm. then we typically find workarounds or create new industries. Or I had a friend who there was a part that was very difficult to get back in the gas business 25 years ago. And it was a very, and so he ended up, he was in the gas business, but he created these on the side and he just went around, he retired, went around to gas companies and sold them. You know, it's just amazing the ingenuity we have. We think outside the box, we problem solve as a nation. Getting back to what we were talking about where the company's headed, about where the country's headed economically, the truth of the matter is because tariffs are so integrated now or so involved throughout or interwoven, I guess is the better way into all the different aspects. We truly don't know yet how it's going to play out. This is a whole new ball game, and it's a bitter roll of the dice. But I will tell you this. And I'm not saying this from a pro or a anti-tariff stance. I will tell you that most economists spoke that there was going to be a recession, the stock market was going to mm-hmm. crash, and everything else by late summer. And a lot of people have had to come back because inflation dropped from 3.0 to 2.7% in November. When you look at the stock market, it's going very strong. And then, but if you just look at, and the numbers hadn't officially come out, but they have these projections. If you look at how much money, holiday spending, it was huge. Yep. And they said perhaps the biggest ever. So it's one of those things that you fall back and you go, Are we hurting as bad as we say, or do we spend money on what we want? You know, do we wish groceries were cheaper? Yes, we do. Do we wish gas? Yes, on and on and on. But how can those two things both be true, that we're being pinched to where we don't have anything extra, but then we have record spending at Christmas on all that? And so... So sometimes it just paints a different picture. We may not feel like that the economy is doing well because we may get pinched month mm-hmm. to month, but then you see the reality of, but we're still shopping. People are still spending money. And that's also a sign of a healthy economy.
Yeah. So 2026 is less than a week away. Everyone's coming out with their end of year deals and their new year deals. What is Michael Coleman? Because this is directly affecting your business. You've been a non-for-profit your entire life. The Jimmy Hale Mission certainly directly affected by everything that goes on in this country. And certainly when people are wanting to have food through Feeding America and the Heart of Alabama Food Bank, what are you looking at from a multi-million dollar company? What are you supposing is going to happen in 2026? And I know you're always a glass half full guy.
Yeah,
and we'll have some exciting news here at the end of this podcast about how we're gonna raise your spirits a little bit more in 2026. But what do you expect to happen in 2026? In a couple of paragraphs, what you got?
Yeah, I'm somewhat optimistic as I tend to be, but I don't want it to be blind optimism. I think the effects of the tariffs, of course, we're waiting on a Supreme Court decision. that's going to come out that's going to say whether the president is in fact authorized to do what he's doing with tariffs. Once that's decided, you know, then whatever the policy is, whatever it's going to be, then that's going to cause some upheaval, but I think it'll get settled out more in 2026. I think by the summertime, people will have made up their mind, is the economy strong or not? How do they feel it? But I do think after, you know, lots of times when people say, well, I worked and last year I got X amount back on my taxes. And this year, let's say you get more back on your taxes. You're going to feel pretty good about that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all going to depend on how much money people have in their pocket as wage growth going. I will say this as well, that I think it's going to play in. I don't know to what degree. Whenever you have with immigration, so we've had, I think, a total of 2.4 million, I think, have been deported. A significant amount of that has been self-deported, over a million self-deported. Now they've increased. It was $1,000 and a free ticket anywhere in the world you wanted to go. Now it's, I think, $3,000 and a free ticket. So people more and more are self-deporting. With that, what ends up happening is you don't have the workforce that's needed. And so the competition for what's out there gets tighter. And so you're going to turn to things like AI and try to reduce your workforce requirement. But a lot of people are not going to be able to do that. So especially when you have physical workers. So you're going to see, I mean, like when you have like things that you fix things or landscaping or whatever it is. So I think what you're going to see is you're going to see an upward pressure on wages. And that's also an indication is wage growth. And so I think you're going to see positive wage growth, and that will be more money in people's hands. And when you have wage growth going on, along with now it's going to be modest inflation, but if you have real wage growth, then you don't feel the impact of the inflation as much because you've got more disposable income in your hands. So I think over 2026, we're going to see an increase in that. And the more as people are deported, now some businesses may adjust in a different way. They may say, well, we just can't do this. We don't have the people out there because I need X amount of people. I'm going to now have to pay them. I could pay them $20 an hour. Now I'm going to have to pay them $25 an hour. I can't afford that because I can't make it up on the sales end because people aren't going to pay that for construction or whatever. But the reality is, I believe people are always going to buy new homes. People are always going to start businesses. People are going to always do those things. And so I think you're going to see some with the business incentives kick in that's in the tax regulation. You're going to see, I think, wages increase, and I think you're going to see the stock market continue to chug along pretty good.
There you go.
The one caveat is if the Supreme Court comes back and says Trump can't do that, then that's going to cause a huge fluctuation, and the stock market hates uncertainty.
Yeah, and a lot of people are going to want their money back too.
So you could see it. Yeah, you could see a 10% or greater loss in the stock market.
The one thing about Donald Trump, though, and his politics, it's always better to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission. I mean, that's what he's done. I don't know. I can only imagine what Melania has to deal with every single day. He is going to Las Vegas with the boys this weekend, and he will ask for forgiveness later because that's how he's run his entire department. He's shooting Venezuela boats. He's doing all these things. And then, you know, we'll see what the Supreme Court says about it later. And for people that aren't Donald Trump fans, and I know you're out there, you only got three more years. This has been one crazy year of politics. More's been done in one year than probably 8 years under any other administration. So
that's a fact.
All right, Bite by Bite's coming up here next. We're going to have a brand new show. It's really the same show, Mission Minded, but we're going to be taking a different direction. We're going to be going terrestrial. We'll be right here on Tony Curry Radio, like the 4,000 or 5,000 folks that listen every single week. We greatly appreciate you watching us here on our YouTube channel. But it's going to be on The Truth 100.1, and we're going to mix it up a little bit. It's going to be a wonderful business show with a slice of Christianity in it. It's going to be super good. Mike and I have been doing this show now for about 3 or 4 years. We know each other quite well. We know where our hearts are, and so we're really looking forward to it's going to be a nice little deviation of what we're going to be doing. It's going to be starting sometime in February on 100.1 The Truth with this WXJC, which is I like to call Extra Large Jesus Christ is what it is. So we'll be doing that a little bit later on. So keep your ears up, and we'll let you know what's going on in the meantime. Peace to you, my friend. Happy New Year, and Bite by Bite's up next. Thank you, man.
Thank you, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.